Psalm 25. Teach me your paths of David. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall all be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me. For the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Let us pray. Father God, we come before you and ask that the humility that your son Jesus displayed, that same spirit of humility would fall upon us right now. That we would look to you, Almighty God, and give you thanks. That you would settle in our heart at this very moment anything that is hindering us from knowing you. I thank you for your son, Jesus. I thank you for the sacrifice. I thank you that Jesus, for your obedience. I thank you that you obeyed your Father and that you have given us new life. I thank you for bringing us together. I thank you that this is a display of your body. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would continue to move in us and through us by the blessing of your Spirit. I pray that our ears would be inclined to listen to what you have prepared through Chris. I thank you for this time. We bless your holy name, Jesus, the name that is above every name, our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords. Amen.
Amen. Isn't God's word beautiful? Like what Paul read, just, man, it just encourages my soul. And all the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness. Right? That's our Lord. That's the God that we serve and the God that we follow. And, you know, this week as getting prepared for today, I wanted to kind of give you a summary of kind of where we've been this summer walking through the Psalms together. And for me, it's been kind of a little bit of a week of mourning. I think just kind of remembering people lost and people that I love. I was making this chart that's going to be up on the screen and reminding me of Dan. Dan loved to make charts and flow charts and things like that. But this kind of gives you a little bit of a summary of this process we've been going through this summer through the Psalms. You might remember Paul preached on Psalm 118, did an amazing job of teaching about this cycle of sin that we get caught up in, that distress comes into our life, right? Stress and anxiety, and something happens, and we tend to fall into fear. And that fear makes up a home. It gets settled in our mind. It makes itself at home. And before we know it, we start withdrawing, and we find ourselves isolated. And then when we find ourselves isolated, we don't really have anybody to help us with the distress, and so the cycle starts all over again until we get into this depression and this darkness, and we keep moving deeper and deeper into the cave, and we don't know if there's a way out, right? So we discussed this summer all these different ways that we can break that cycle. For example, if you look at this one that says distress on it, we talked about in Psalm 142 and Psalm 62, P. Rob did a great job last week talking about what it meant to lament, what it meant for us to pour out our heart to God. So when that distress comes into your life, where do you turn? Now, we sometimes like to pour out our heart on social media or pour out our heart to a friend, but do we really pour out our heart to God? And you see this through the Psalms all the time. David's like, why, Lord? Why has this happened to me? People are just leaving me. Kill my enemies. Like, he's just pouring out his heart. Everything that's in there, the ugly, the mess, he just pours it out to God. And then it always kind of comes back at the end, but I'm thankful for your steadfast love. Right? Because he pours it all out, and then God's love begins to pour in to his life. And here's the key for us. If we truly learn how to lament, pour out our heart to God, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will make a home in our life. And when we have that peace of God, this is what Philippians 4 talks about. The peace of God then will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So if you're feeling unsteady, if you're feeling distress and worry in your life, if you need something to guard your heart, God is our strength and our shield. What that means is that he will give you peace in the midst of chaos. And in the midst of the chaos, you'll be able to find a way out. He says that about our sin, that, hey, don't stop fighting, but God has always given us a way out of our sin. So he's saying, in this stress, lament, pour out your heart to God, find peace, and let that guard your heart. But sometimes we don't. So we get into this fear category. So how do we get on the off-ramp of this cycle in fear? We have to pray. We have to put our faith completely in God, who knows better than we do. He's above the circumstance that we're trapped in. We fear the Lord. We don't fear men. What can men do to us, right? So we fear the Lord. And so that prayer of faith helps us trust. And that trust, when it is fully developed, when we trust in Jesus, we'll get to experience love. You can't experience the fullness of love when you don't trust people. When you don't trust, you always have this transitional view of love. Well, I'll love you if you love me. And how much you're going to love me, I'll love you that much as well. And it becomes transactional. Instead of this agape, I love you because God has loved me. And there's no end to his steadfast love for me, so there's no end to my love for you, regardless of how you act in the situation. That's agape love. It's not conditional. It's not based upon the actions of others. Amen. We need some more of that in our world today. Love that's not dependent on what you believe or how you treat someone. Just love. So if we want to get off this cycle of distress and fear and isolation, we got to off-ramp is putting our trust completely in Jesus. And what I mean is, like, put your trust completely. Like I said, this has been kind of a little bit of a week of mourning for me. You know, I thought back to losing Josh this week. Josh Boyd, one of our beloved brothers, is dancing with Jesus right now with the bass turned up. But anyway, Josh, when we thinking back to Josh's memorial service, you know, the boy, it was Dakota's birthday this week, and so I kind of got me in that mindset. Dakota's his son, and Wyatt is like my man riding on my shoulder. If you see a kid riding on my shoulders all the time, it's not one of my boys, okay? They're 20 and 23, okay? But Wyatt just run around me, and one of the things I remember from that day is Wyatt liked to be on the stage, and he liked to jump off the stage to me. That's just something that he liked right after the memorial service. He just wanted to, like, jump to my arms. And so it started out where Wyatt would get on the edge and he would, like, kind of fall off the stage to me, right? Like, no, Wyatt, if you're going to do it, you got to jump. So then he would start jumping, and then guess what happened? Move back. Move further. And he would start taking a run, and he would test it out until he was, like, across the stage, running, jumping, and trying to get to jump where Anthony is all the way over here. Like, whoa, and he would just chest out and fly because he trusted that I would catch him, you know, in that way. And we did it over and over and over. 45 minutes. I was sore the next day from catching Wyatt, okay? But he would just fly out there and, like, put his chest out and, like, I knew if I didn't catch him, it was face plant into a chair, right? It was on this carpet, face burn, right? But he trusted and he ran, and I had this responsibility, like, I'm not going to drop them, right? And those sort of things. Do you trust the Lord with the faith of a child? Like, do you trust God that I'm going to jump out there, and if I land on my face, land on my face, right? But I'm going to trust God that much? Or do we trust God like a little bit? We're still in the like, I'm going to come a little closer. I'll fall off the stage to you, right? Or do we really trust him to just jump out there, take a chance with that neighbor, take a chance speaking to this person about Jesus Christ, take a chance talking evangelism or loving them, or take a chance giving something that my neighbor needs that I didn't know? Do we take that chance with God? This is what true trust looks like. But then sometimes we still fear. That fear just takes resident, and we find ourselves all of a sudden in isolation. And guys, there's no other way to get out of isolation than to just go find fellowship, to go find community. There's no way. The only way, in my opinion, to get out of depression is to think of someone else besides yourself. When you only think of yourself, your only counsel is you, it gets darker and darker and darker. When you decide to care about someone else, this is why God's law is so incredible. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And what's the second one? Love your neighbor. It doesn't say love you. It doesn't love yourself. It says love your neighbor as yourself. And so all of a sudden, if you want to get out of this cycle, go think of someone else. Go serve someone else. When you're at the store buying peanut butter and you don't really have enough money for that, get a couple extra for Breadbox. It'll explode in your soul that you're thinking of someone beside yourself. This is what it's all about, to follow Christ. It's not about us. Whatever God has in store for us, for this church, I'm on board. Wherever he wants to take us, because it's not about us. This is what we need to do as believers of Christ, to have victory over that cycle. And today we're going to dive into Psalm 54 and get deeper into this idea of trust. But before we do, we want to celebrate the Lord's Supper, because what the Lord's Supper represents is, do you truly trust in the Lord? Because that's got to be the starting point. That's the springboard that we're walking out on, is do we truly trust Jesus Christ? And the Lord's Supper is designed to be for believers, those who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's meant for us to remember, to think back on what Christ has done for us and for us to do likewise. Christ laid down his life for those that he loved, and we're supposed to lay down our life for them as well. And so this is a reminder of what Christ has done for us. And so I want to encourage you, if you're not Wyatt full launch in, right, pray. Like, get right with the Lord today. Say, Lord, maybe you don't quite trust him with the full launch. Maybe you're just going to start the jump. But now I encourage you to start that today. Before you even take the Lord's Supper, spend time praying. No one's going to look at you weird. If they do, oh well. All right, stand for the Lord. Let's get right with the Lord. And then we're going to take the Lord's Supper together as a family of God. And then we'll keep going. And then let me pray for us. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this reminder of what it means to trust in you. Lord, you gave up your life for us. Your body was broken for us. Your blood was spilt for us. Lord, help us to trust you. Lord, help us to even know what that looks like to trust you. So Lord, help us today, as we celebrate this Lord's Supper, help it to be a sweet time. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to come forward before the Lord's Supper. What I want to encourage you to do is, if this side, can you go to the wall side and kind of come up the middle? If you guys, you're the pie shape, right? If y'all could kind of come to the middle, and then y'all can kind of flow that way. Middle section, good luck. Okay, and so this side will kind of come together and flow down. If you guys don't mind going to the wall and kind of flowing through, that might make it quicker, okay? If you guys would stand and come on down, we're going to grab the elements together and celebrate the Lord's Supper. Thank you. All right, if you guys would pray with me. Lord, we do this today in remembrance of you. Thankful for your death upon the cross, Lord. Thankful that you have ransomed us. You have rescued us, Lord, from our own sin that has entangled us and pulled us into darkness. Lord, you are the light. So, Lord, thank you for your body, which is broken for us. And we thank you for your blood, which was spilt for us. We do this just as a reminder of you. In your name we pray. Amen. So if we take the bread, we're going to eat it together in remembrance of Christ. And then we take the cup and we drink in remembrance of Christ's blood spilled for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, again for enduring the cross, despising its shame, to give us a chance at salvation in you. Lord, I pray that we will put our faith in you, completely trust in you with our entire life. We pray this in the beautiful name of Jesus. Amen. Now, you might be thinking, why does Chris look like a lemon? Okay, so we're leaving tomorrow for youth camp, and our team color is yellow. And a few of y'all got the memo. Awesome. All right, but on the way out, I want to encourage you, there's some yellow bracelets that are outside, and on those bracelets it has the name of the different youth and the different leaders that are going to the campus. So I want to invite you, please take one of those names and be praying for that person throughout this entire week. Just praying over our youth that they'll experience Christ in a fresh way, praying over our leaders that we will survive and we'll have a great time and all those sort of things. So, like, for example, I'm praying for Landon Grant. Landon, back in the sound booth, one of our seventh grade guys running the live stream back there in the back. So I'm going to be praying for Landon. I'm going to be praying for all y'all youth as well, but especially for Landon this week, just praying for him. And so that's out in the porte-cochere. Just grab that on your way out and be praying for us this week as we leave and join us in that. So if you'll turn to Psalm 54, I think it's beautiful what God has been doing as we've been picking these psalms throughout the summer and different people preaching. Kind of that graphic that we see. We notice that we've kind of taken a zoom into the story of David. Remember David, a couple weeks ago, we talked about David acting crazy, right? Before the Philistines, acting all like he was insane and him escaping from them. And then he escaped into the cave at Adullam. And that's where Robert was talking about last week. Remember, he showed you the picture of one of the possible caves where they could have been writing this psalm from. Well, interestingly enough, we pick up on that story here in Psalm 54. Look what it says in Psalm 54 in the title. It says, to the choir master with stringed instruments. So this is a song that's being played with the harp or the lute, which is an old kind of guitarist thing. And so it's being played with stringed instruments, and they're singing this song. And Maskell of David. Now, we don't exactly know what Maskell means. We know it's a musical term. We know if you look back to 52, 53, 54, 55, they're all labeled a Maskell of David. So it's some sort of style. I hope it's not country music, but it's just a style of music that is out there for them. And so we just know that's the song. It's a Maskell of David. There's a part. When, so he's going to tell us the scenario around when he's writing the song. When the Ziphites went and told Saul, is not David hiding among us? So we know already this is a scenario. So we look back into 1 Samuel chapter 23. We've been kind of going through 1 Samuel 22. Then we went into, that's where he was acting insane. Then 23 was where he was hiding in the cave. And then we pick up a little later in 23 in verse 15. David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life. David was in the wilderness of Ziph at Horesh. And Jonathan, Saul's son, rose and went to David at Horesh and strengthened his hand in God. So Jonathan, Saul's son, who's supposed to be the next king, is now strengthening David. He recognizes God's call on David. Do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Saul, my father, also knows this. And the two of them made a covenant before the Lord. David remained at Horesh, and Jonathan went home. So Jonathan knew how to find him, but his dad didn't. know how to find David. So then the Ziphites went up to Saul at Gilba and said, "Is not David hiding among all the strongholds of Horish in the hills of Hakalah, which is south of Jeshimon? Now come down, O king, according to all your heart's desire, to come down to our part shall be to surrender him into the king's hand." And Saul said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, for you have had compassion on me." Now listen, Saul thinks that he is still God's man. He's saying, "Bless you because you're being a part of what I'm doing, which is hunting down David to try to kill him." So the Ziphites think they're choosing God's side, but we find out later in Psalm 54 that they're not choosing God's side because God has anointed David to be the king. And so we can have Christians or believers that think they're doing right but aren't doing the will of God. This is why we remain humble before him in that story. Right? So, and Saul said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, for you have had compassion on me. Go, make yet more sure. Know and see the place where his foot is and who has seen him there. For it is told to me that he is very cunning. See, therefore, and take note of all the lurking places where he hides, and come back to me with sure information. Then I will go with you, and if he is in the land, I will search him out among the thousands of Judah." And they arose and went to Ziph ahead of Saul. So he sends the Ziphites out as spies to find David. Now David and his men were in the wilderness of Manoah in the Araba to the south of Jeshimon. And Saul and his men went to seek him. And David was told, so he went down to the rock and lived in the wilderness of Manoah. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Manoah. Saul went on one side of the mountain, and David and his men were on the other side of the mountain. And David was hurrying to get away from Saul, as Saul and his men were closing in on David and his men to capture them. So here's the scenario. David has been on the run, hiding in caves, and now Saul has found him with the help of the Ziphites, and they're starting to surround him. They're on the same sort of mountain, maybe being able to look at each other, seeing each other, and Saul's big army is beginning to bring him in, surround him, corral him. And this is the situation by which David writes Psalm 54. So that gives us a little bit of insight into David's words. Right? Maybe you're in a position where you just feel like there's no escape. These are the words of David in that same situation. Here's what he says in verses 1 and 2. "O God, save me by your name and vindicate me by your might. O God, hear my prayer. Give ear to the words of my mouth." Notice the four kind of active words he uses in here. Number one, God, save me. How? By your name. We've been learning the names of God throughout the summer. We're going to see two more of them in today's passage that we look at. These names of God who reveal who God is to us. Vindicate me. This Hebrew word is the word deen. Deen meaning vindicate me. Judge me correctly. If I am wanting, if I'm falling short, if I'm not your man, let me be captured. But if I am innocent in this, if I am your man, let me escape. That's what he means by vindicate me in your might. O God, hear my prayer, give ear to the words of my mouth. So he's saying, hear my prayer, but also give ear, right? If you're giving someone your ear, you're like sitting intentionally listening. So he's calling out to God, don't just hear me, God, give me your attention. Listen directly to me. Now, I don't know, we live in a world of multitasking, right? Which you realize, you know, isn't really a thing we can do. How many of y'all, when you're working on a project, like to put on music or a podcast or something over here, but really you're just switching back and forth really quick? You're not really giving ear to either one of them. And then you hear something interesting, you're like, what was that? And then you give ear, right? You get this look on your face like now you're actually listening, which I figured out your wife can figure that one out too. I just discovered that not too recently. But that they can tell that look on your face when you're actually listening, right? So giving an ear means give me your attention, listening to my plea. And here's this plea. For strangers, we know this is the Ziphites, right, that are spying him out. For strangers have risen against me. Ruthless men seek my life. They do not set God before themselves. Now remember, Saul says, oh, bless you, you're doing a good thing. David's saying, they don't seek God. They're not putting God before them. Different views of this situation, right? Which one is right? Which one is truly following the Lord? Well, we know David is the man after God's own heart. And he calls out to God with two names that I think are really important to us in the world that we live in to encourage us. And here's the first one. Behold, God is my helper. God is my helpmate. He's the helper. He's the one who's there with me, walking beside me. This is the same term used for Adam and Eve, and Eve is created to be his helpmate, right? Adam can't do it on his own. He needs help, and Eve is created for him in the same way. We can't do it on our own. We need God to be that helper. And so what helped me as I was going through this passage and looking at these names is letting the Bible interpret itself. Right? A lot of times we want to find definitions on the internet, but what we really want to do is find other places that this word is used in the Bible to give us a better understanding. Is what does this mean for God to be our helper? He's not subservient to us in any way whatsoever. So what does it mean? So there's two other places in the book of Psalms that this word is used for helper. The first one is in Psalm 28. So let's turn back to it. All right, Psalm 28. We're going to start in verse 6 and see if you can find this word helper or help inside of this passage. Here's what he says in verse 6. Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. So similar situation, right? The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts and I am helped. Woo. The Lord is my strength. Do you believe that? He is your shield. He, if you trust in him, he is your help. My heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to him. The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. Oh, save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. Doesn't that sound like Jesus? Like it just echoes this idea of Jesus being the good shepherd. So that a helper is the shepherd, the guide, the ones that's encouraging them and walking with them. The other time this appears is in Psalm 119. So if you want to turn back there to Psalm 119. If you haven't heard of Psalm 119, it's really long. So you got to go all the way to verse 169. Psalm 119, 169, which is that kind of a cool address to say. Right at the very end of that psalm, here's what the author pens. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Similar situation. He's crying out for help again. Hear my pleas. Hear my cry. Lord, listen to my prayers. Give me ear. So notice his response here. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my plea come before you. Deliver me according to your word. I'm just telling you, that preaches itself. It's just saying, Lord, it's not according to what I want, according to your word. That's how we pray. My lips will pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. Let your hand be ready to help me. There's our word, help. For I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live and praise you, and let your rules help me. For I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. There it is again, right? The shepherd kind of analogy. What does Christ say about that sheep that's gone astray? What does he do? He goes. He leaves the 99, right? And he goes, and he rescues and brings him back. That being our helper means that God is going to be there in our time of need, and we're going to see that in the story take place. So do you believe that God is your helper? You're not all alone in this battle. You're never truly isolated because you have the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. You have Christ as your friend. We get to be a friend of God. Here's the second name in that verse. It says, behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. Now, this is a pretty unique one. Have you ever thought of God being the upholder of my life? So it made me think, okay, I need to look at what does this word upholder mean, right? This Hebrew word, which is samach, what does that word mean? And here's four of the top definitions for this word samach. And then we're going to let the Bible interpret itself and find these verses that have that same word in it. But here's four. To prop, meaning that when you're spinning and you're out of control, how do you stop? You got to find something to steady yourself. That God is that thing that steadies us when the world spins out of control. He's our sustainer. He's the one who refreshes our soul. He's the one who revives us. That we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive in Christ. So this word upholder is sort of like this word prop or crutch. And so I grabbed this to make kind of illustrate for you this little walker, right? And I was carrying to the stage as someone was like really concerned earlier because I guess I looked like I needed help. I was just walking it up here. But this is the like Mercedes-Benz of walkers, right? It's got like brakes and it feels like it has gears and all kinds of stuff. Dan used this one for a while as well. It brought me back to that that morning place. Anyway, so why do people use a walker? Because they struggle walking on their own, right? So I want you to imagine that I broke my foot, right? Which I have severely in the past, right? Imagine that I have a broken foot, right? And you see me like limping around on my foot, like, hey, can I help? No, I'm good. And I'm limping around, and I start complaining about how bad it hurts. Wouldn't you say, like, bro, use the walker. It's right there. Like, no, I could do it on my own. I could do it all myself. Oh, it hurts so bad. Like, but I could do it. Like, that's part of being tough, but, like, you have a walker. Like, you have something to help you. But so often in our life, we don't let the Lord help us. The Lord's like, hey, Taj Mahal of a thing, like, this is the best. You can use it. Like, put your weight on there. I will sustain you. I'll uphold you. I'll prop you up when you can't do it on your own strength. And we're like, yeah, why don't you just kind of go before me, and then I'll... Lord's with me, right? But we try to do it all in our own strength instead of truly relying on him. Are you ready to rely on the Lord? When you're hurting, when you're in pain, put that pressure on him. And we see this picture throughout the scriptures that have this same word for uphold in them. Let's go back to Psalm 37. We read Psalm 37 a few weeks ago. The first part of it, we're going to read the end part of it today, and we're looking for that word uphold because we're letting the scripture tell us what this word means. Here's what it says in verse 16. Better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. There's our word. When you can't do it on your own strength, the Lord will uphold you. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage will remain forever. They are not put to shame in evil times. In the days of famine, they have abundance. But the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish. Like smoke, they vanish away. The wicked borrows but does not pay back. But the righteous is generous and gives. For those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. That the Lord is with you to uphold you when you walk in his ways. The other place this verse happens is in a kind of famous verse that we don't read a lot of, is in Psalm 51. You've heard of that verse, create in me a clean heart, O God, right? That's verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Uphold my spirit. Come on, my soul. Don't you, right? Uphold. God upholds us in our time of trouble, in our time of need. Are you in need of that right now? The Lord to uphold you. This is why we run to Jesus. Let's finish it out. Let's look at the rest of Psalm 54. He will return the evil to my enemies. In your faithfulness, put an end to them. With a free will offering, I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me from every trouble, and my eye has looked in triumph on my enemies. He calls us to give a free will offering to him, a sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice of thanksgiving to him. And we'll have to talk about that later because we're running out of time. All right, but here's the end of the story. All right, look at verse 7. For he has delivered me from every trouble. When we left off in 1 Samuel, it seemed pretty hopeless for David, didn't it? It seemed like everything was crushing in around him. There seemed to be no escape. David had done everything that he could do, and he's finally like, I have to trust in you, Lord. And look what happens, because without even realizing it, the Lord had a plan. Verse 27 of 1 Samuel 23. A messenger came to Saul, saying, hurry and come, for the Philistines have made a raid against the land. So Saul returned from pursuing after David and went against the Philistines. Therefore, that place was called the Rock of Escape. And David went from there and lived in the strongholds of En-Gedi. When David couldn't see a way out, God had a plan. God took the army back away, and they stopped pursuing him. So you might feel stuck. Have peace. God is for you. If God is for us, who can be against us? So we trust in him. Lord, we come to you thankful that you are worthy of our praise. You're worthy of our sacrifice, that, Lord, we want to trust in you. So I thank you for this passage and the way that it encourages us today. I pray that as we leave this place, we will trust you with our whole heart, have a childlike faith to be able to trust in you. We pray all this in your name. Amen.
Hey, Chad. How you doing, Chris?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I loved your emphasis on upholding. I never really thought about that, and that word samach, and how that's just a really special, it really hit me personally. And so I want to take that a little step further and uphold our summer Bible study. Women, don't come tomorrow night. You're taking the night off because it's the 4th of July. But guys, we've got a different story for you. See, our country gained our independence on the 4th, not the 5th. So you have to come Tuesday night. We're still going to have men's Bible study Tuesday night, so want to see you all you guys there. But ladies, you have the night off. Celebrate with your friends and family. I want to remind you about these.
Yeah, don't forget about these. We also have a prayer calendar for the month of July. We also have a date challenge. If you want some creative ideas for dates and enter a date challenge, it's out there as well. All kinds of exciting things to pick up in the foyer.
Excellent. Can I ask this lovely couple in the back to come forward? Rudy and Kelly, aren't they good looking? Y'all give them a hand. You know, why'd y'all walk separately? Like, didn't separate? You're supposed to be supposed to be together. Oh my goodness!
No,
well, you're about to spend a great trip together. Now, as you know, Rudy and Paul just got back from Honduras, but Tuesday or Wednesday morning, I can't remember which day you're taking off, but taking off for Romania and Germany. Rudy's going to be doing some evangelism training there for some pastors like they did in Honduras. So we want to close our time together just praying a special blessing on them. So if any of you guys want to come forward and place hands on them as we pray for Rudy and Kelly, go ahead and come forward. All right, let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for this couple here and how you have used them in our lives and in this church. We look forward to see how you're going to use them on this trip and encouraging and training the people and the pastors in Romania and in Germany. So we pray a special blessing on Rudy and Kelly for travel safeties, for strength, for good health, stamina. Lord, we pray that you would uphold them during this time. And we look forward to hearing some great stories of how you are expanding your kingdom, even through the work that you're doing in Romania and Germany. So we ask all these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. All right, excellent. Want to close with this verse, church. This is from Romans 15:5-6. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. God bless you. Have a wonderful week and a 4th of July. You're dismissed.